Well, how are you guys doing this morning? All right, that's good. That's pretty chipper for an old time change Sunday, so I like that. Hey, glad to see you guys here. The reality is that our lives are shaped by stories. Now, some stories about our life we've heard over and over and over again, okay? You know that guy, okay? Whether that's your grandpa or your mom, you know, or maybe, let's be honest, some of you, it's you now, okay? You're the one who just repeats the stories. But you know how that is, like you get the family together for like a birthday or Thanksgiving or whatever it might be, someone just has to say that one line, you know what I'm talking about? And everybody knows, okay? Everybody knows the story that's coming up next. Everybody knows exactly what you're referring to or that time that one thing happened. And so we see this within our families. We see this on our teams and with our friends. And we see this in the workplace. I mean, maybe it's in the office or the shop or the line or the job site, you know, where you're working with the same people. You guys have kind of those inside jokes and things going on where you have those stories that you guys make fun of each other and point to each other and things like that. There's a story that comes up within our office about 3 or 4 times a year, okay, which I think is kind of average. And it has to do with Mike. Back when Mike was an intern, okay, this is years ago when he was at college, but then for the summer he came and did like a summer internship for us. He used to help me do a bunch of our few student ministry stuff. And so I remember this one time we were putting on this big event. This event was like a big game that we used the entire Fremont campus, like all the land, all the buildings and everything. It's a game that we kind of invented that was called Invasion, okay? Sounds really cool. It's cool for a middle schooler, okay? But we made it as intense as possible. And so we used to get all kinds of kids. I think that this year that I'm going to tell you about, I think this year was the year that we had like 207 middle schoolers come out for this game, which was way more than we had ever expected, and it was intense. And it's one of those things, think about it, 200 middle schoolers, okay, on a Friday night. All drinking their Red Bulls and Monsters and Mountain Dews and, you know, eating all their candy and all that stuff. You got them all out there, and they're here to play this game where they're going to run around. We're going to turn off the lights. It's going to get crazy. And they are going, like, they're kind of off the walls. And so we as leaders, like, it's one of those things where we know, like, we're like, dude, we have no control over this mob. You know what I mean? But on the outside, you can't show the cracks. And so we go up. We're going to have to use strength. We're going to show him our strength. And there's some debate about what happened next. But Mike says that I went to him and I said, Mike, okay, I need you to go out there and I need you to give the rules and kind of you need to get control of the crowd. And I told him to be serious about it and to get that control. And so all I remember is that he went up there. And again, this is like 200 kids. We have them packed into a gym. They're all ready for this thing to get started. Mike goes. He stands on top of a table, kind of like how I am right now, about this height. And he starts giving the rules. Hey, this is what you guys need to do. He's trying to get all their attention. And there's one kid, a hero, I might say, also a punk that was in the crowd. I was looking. I could not find out which kid this was. One kid had a laser pointer. And as Mike is talking, and he doesn't even realize it, there's a laser dot just like circling him over and over and over again. And he can't get control of the room. And actually, I should say, it was circling him. It was actually about a foot lower than this. And I didn't know if I should say that in mixed company. It was awkward, but so funny. And so we're watching. He's on the table in front of everybody, in front of 200 kids. And the kids are just dying laughing. And Mike has no idea. And the staff, we're just dying laughing. And I can't even control myself at that point. It was just so funny. And so that, we remind him about that once every month. Yeah, I don't know, something like that. All right, it keeps coming up. But just so funny. Stories make us laugh, right? Stories change how we think. I mean, even deeper than that, stories shape our goals and stories inspire us. Stories connect us together. And the reality is stories shape our life, meaning stories shape your story. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the story of Grace Church. In fact, in the next 4 weeks, all right, the next 4 weeks are just going to be different, okay? Very different than how we usually do our thing here on Sunday morning. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to lay out our plan for the future of our church, and we're going to talk about some opportunities that it sure seems like God has for us to take, and maybe some doors that God has opened for us to walk through together as a church family. And the reality is sometimes we just need to sit down and have like a family meeting, okay? And so that's what I want you to picture over the next 4 weeks. This is just a big family meeting, all of us together. Picture it almost like we're all here sitting at the table together, kind of hashing out what we need to do next, and how we need to move forward. Now, let me just say this. If you're new, okay, which we know that there's new people here, you are totally invited to the table. Okay, we're not saying you have to jump in. We aren't expecting you to jump in any way, but feel free to listen to kind of the things that we talk about and listen to kind of where we're going to next as a church family. We totally understand that some of you guys, you're just trying to figure out if you even want to be here. Okay, that's true. All right, that's fine. You're kind of kicking the tires, figuring out what this church is all about. And so for you, this is a great Sunday for you to be here. All right, because if you don't want to be a part of what's going on here at Grace, you'll know, okay? So you got that going for you. But just so you know kind of who we are a movement. We're not a personality. We're not a specific pastor or leader or teacher. We are not a building, all right? We are a movement of broken, messed up, jacked up, horrible, terrible people who are dedicating our lives to doing whatever we possibly can to reach as many people as we possibly can for Jesus. Okay, it doesn't matter who you voted for, where you work, how much money you make, all right, how old you are. It doesn't matter about the mistakes that you've made in the past. All right, your past doesn't matter. You can bring your hurt. You can bring your pain. We'll take it. We are a church family here at Grace. That's exactly what we are. We are just a big dysfunctional family trying to save as many people around us as we can. And there is urgency to our job and urgency to our mission. That's what we are all about. In fact, it is the exact same mission as the very first church. We actually see this right at the beginning of the greatest story that has ever been told, and that's the story of Jesus and this church. Basically, it goes like this. After Jesus dies, he comes back to life 3 days later, and Jesus, just a few weeks after that, he kind of gathers his disciples together. It's almost like the last game plan in the huddle. He gets all the guys together, and he's going to give them one last thing. He's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to look like, and this is what he says. He says, you, all right, will receive power, meaning this hasn't happened yet. This is something that's going to happen, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you and actually moves inside of you, which, by the way, happens when we surrender our life to Jesus. It's a promise that God has given us. He's saying, if you surrender your life to me, I actually move in and I do life with you. A lot of you guys, you've experienced that. I've experienced that. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, Jesus right here, he gives his followers the blueprints of this brand new thing that we now call the church. Right? He gives them the mission. He gives them their work. He gives them their purpose. Now, the disciples and kind of his crew that he's talking to, they don't exactly know what the heck is going on. And so Jesus leaves and they wait. They didn't know what this church thing was going to look like. They didn't know how long this thing was going to last. All they knew is that Jesus was this guy who they had spent roughly the last 3 years with, that he was killed a month before. 3 days after that, he comes back to life, and that's when they believed. It was not before. It was watching Jesus die and then talking to Jesus days later. That's what convinced them that Jesus has to be from God, that Jesus had to be God. And so they wait for about a week. And the church was born. And the Bible tells us in the beginning of the book of Acts how God moves into the hearts. And one of their main leaders, this dude named Peter, he's kind of the loudmouth of the group. He gets up and he stands up in the middle of Jerusalem. If you could picture this, this is the same city that just killed Jesus about a month before. He stands up and there's people all around and the crowds gathered. Again, it's the same people that were just shouting to crucify Jesus about a month before. And he tells them the story of Jesus. And he explains to them and he explains to the Jewish people how Jesus was their savior, or is their savior, that the Jewish people have been waiting for at this point hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, generation after generation after generation. And when the crowd hears this, Luke tells us that they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, they said, brothers, they're like, what do we do? All right, what should we do now that we know how bad we've messed up here? And Peter tells them, he says, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Again, that's something that a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us in this room have done. And he says, those who accepted his message and who did this, they were baptized. And that day, the very first day of the church, the day the church was born, about 3,000 people were added to them. I mean, here we got. We got like an instant megachurch thing going on right at the beginning in Jerusalem. And things were going pretty well, at least for a little while. All right, he says they devoted themselves really to four different things, all right? This is something that we as a church that we need to focus on. This is what we as a church are supposed to be doing. These are great examples for us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, all right, teaching from God's word. That's what we're doing right now, all right? To the fellowship, all right, meaning to hanging out and spending time with each other, something that we want you guys to do, all right? To the breaking of bread, that means just eating together, all right, going out to lunch. Dinner, stuff like that, and to prayer. Those were the four things that they were focused on, and everyone was filled with awe. Can you picture this? And many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all the believers were together, and they held all things in common. There was unity going on here, and they sold their possessions and their property. They distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. So there was nobody in need among them, and every day they devoted themselves to hanging out with each other and meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread or they ate together from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. See, these brand new Christians were experiencing the joy and peace of being a part of this brand new thing called the church. But that didn't last long because the religious leaders and the Roman government began to hunt and down and kill Jesus followers simply for being Jesus followers. And when this starts to happen, which is just right after this, right? Not long after, this scatters the first church, right? The people scatter and many of them run. And as they run, they start settling in cities all throughout the Roman Empire. And they keep telling others about Jesus and about what Jesus has done. So word about Jesus or the news about Jesus spreads throughout the Roman Empire. And this happens really for about 300 years. And in the first 300 years, Rome and the religious people, they slaughtered Christians. I mean, they did unimaginable things to Christians. I've told you guys this before. Every night before I go to bed, I don't know why I do this. It's a little bit morbid. I totally get that. I recognize that as I stand up here and tell you. I got this little book, and I've told you guys how I don't like to read. I'm not a reader. I stink at reading. I'm slow, all right? I admit that. I don't enjoy it. But I could do like a paragraph, you know, maybe half page. I'm feeling up for it, you know, that type of thing, okay? And so I'll read like about two or three Christian martyrs, okay? A Christian martyr, by the way, is just people who died simply because they wouldn't shut up about Jesus. And I'm reading each day, I read about all these things that these people went through. I read about how people were burned alive and thrown into the Colosseum. So many Christians, by the way, died in the Colosseum, either by animals or by gladiators, right? I've read about, and this, there's certain things that keep on happening, so that happened a lot. A lot of times they would tie a Christian up by their feet, tie them to a horse, and then have the horse run through the city, and the Christian would die just by being dragged around the road. Right? I read about how these Christians were put on the rack, and that's where they would take you, and they would stretch you out, and so your bones and everything would come out of socket, and they would literally pull you apart. I mean, just horrible, horrible stuff. And the Romans perfected torture, by the way, because Romans, what they learned is they could torture you to you where you almost die, and then they can nurse you back to health so they could do it all over again. That's the kind of thing over and over and over again that Christians had to go through. In fact, just a couple days ago, I was reading about some unnamed Christians, we'll never know their names, at least on this side of heaven, who were rounded up by the Roman government and they were tied down. They had their stomachs cut open. They had their stomachs packed full while they're alive, all right, with corn. And then they were thrown into the pigs as the pigs ate them from the inside out, all right? That's the kind of thing that Christians had to endure, Christians had to go through just to tell others about Jesus because they wouldn't shut up. They wouldn't back down to the mission that God had given the original church. And there's way, way worse things that I feel like I can't even say here in church. And so each night as I'm reading about two or three of these, I'll be honest, I'm horrified about what they had to go through. But there's also a part of me that's unbelievably proud that they're part of my heritage, right? Because those are our people. They're one of us. They're part of our family. And I'll be honest with you, I am overwhelmed with gratefulness. I'm so grateful because they are the reason why I've been able here today to hear about Jesus. Because the news about Jesus could have died 1,500 years ago. But it didn't because of people like them. They sacrificed so I could have the opportunity to give my life to Jesus and so that my kids can have the opportunity to give their life to Jesus so that we could be here as a church here today, and it cost them. And so for the first 300 years, man, it was brutal for Jesus followers. But God was at work and the church grew, and that was us. That's our heritage. That's our story. And we see this happen all throughout history. Many, many people risked everything, and the church kept going to work. Church stayed on mission, and God used them to save even more, and it passed throughout generation after generation after generation. We see all this all throughout history, all the way down till 1939. And that's when the Grace Church story started. When a group of incredibly faithful, bold people decided to start a church in little Fremont, Ohio that would be committed to teaching the Bible, okay? That was the main focus. We want a church that stays true to the Bible, and this is us, all right? This is our people, all right? These are the people that took that first step to start us here at Grace. They were the ones. At first, they went out and they rented an old Methodist church building out west of town. There it is. But within a matter of months, what they realized is that this building was not going to be big enough, right, to do what God was going to be able to do through them. It was going to be too small for what God was doing. And so they took another bold move just within a matter of months. And in the early 40s, they went out and they purchased property in a brand new neighborhood on the east side of Fremont on Collingwood Boulevard. And at first, they were able to build just the basement portion of the building that they wanted to build someday. They just built the basement because this was during the war and they had to ration, the government rationed a bunch of materials, and so that's all that they were allowed to build. But then after the war, all right, they were able to complete the building, and that was our first church building that we owned as a church. And God used that building to do so much. What's funny is you look at these people, right? Like, this is us. This is our people. This is our heritage right here. What they did made this possible, right? They look a little different, right? They're dressed differently, right? Right? But and they did church differently back then. Right? Church was drastically differently. The delivery was differently. The style of church, everything, the way people looked, the way people dressed, right? All the ladies had hats on, you know, all that stuff. Everything was drastically differently except for the message. The message has not changed. We still teach the exact same 100%. Nothing has changed. We teach the exact same thing that they taught, you know, back in 1939, back in the early 40s. It's the exact same. The message never changes. And so there we are as a church. About 10 years later, we actually had grown so much that a lot of the people felt like they could reach more people if they started a new church on the west side of Fremont, because west and east, I mean, that's super far away apparently back then. And so they start another church on the west side of Fremont. They went out and they bought land. They built a building for them out there. That church, by the way, is still around today. We're not affiliated with them, but that's the Grace Brethren Chapel that is now on the corner of Route 590 in 20 out west of town, out kind of towards Lindsay. But that was a church that we started during this time to reach even more people. And our church, specifically our church, kept growing. By the mid-70s, we had grown so much that we had we have overgrown this building, all right? It was too small for us. And so people took an incredibly bold move or made an incredibly bold move that completely changed the future of our church. See, for them, in order to reach even more people, they went out and they bought 17 acres of property further east of town. This is it. It's about, basically, they went out and bought a 17-acre farm field that they wanted to, a place where they thought they could build a church, where they'd never have to move again. It would always be big enough. It would be a tool that they could use to reach even more people. Now, what's interesting about this is that there's some people, I was just talking to a guy who was there back then, just a few weeks ago, but he was telling me, he's like, there were some people, all right, within the church that were kind of questioning this. They're like, you know, they couldn't understand, like, why we'd need that much land. Right, like why get 17 acres, right? That's like way more than we might need. And the question that was kind of going through the church and the question that the church was struggling with back in the 70s was how big could a church be in little old Fremont, Ohio? 250? Maybe 300? But many people saw the vision and they chose to think big and a bunch of people sacrificed. And they went out and bought this. They built their first building out there. If you've ever been to our Fremont campus, you've seen it. The building kind of sticks out a little bit, okay? It's a little different. But they were able to build that, and it didn't take long that we outgrew even this space. They added an addition in the 80s. We grew throughout the 90s, and that brings us to about 2001. Our attendance had about 600 people. And we're at two services. In fact, this is a picture of us. I remember taking this picture. Some of you in here, I know some of you are in this picture, all right? And that was back in 2001, and we're at two services, and we're full. And so again, we were kind of faced with this problem. It was like, man, our building isn't big enough, right? We're running into the same issues again. And our church decided to make an incredibly bold move. And they went out and they sacrificed and they built a 1,000-seat auditorium. In fact, I was just in middle school back then. So I'll let a guy named Alan Cleveland and Kevin talk about our story and our bold move specifically when it came to this project right here.
Well, this is Alan Cleveland, good friend of mine, been on our leadership board for years, no longer, but for many years through a lot of our projects. And when I came, this is the first spot I was at. But I know Alan, he became a believer when he was a teenager, but actually started attending Grace when it was on Birdseye and Collingwood when he was a young man. Isn't that right?
Yeah, in fact, how I got involved with Collingwood Boulevard is it was Christmas time. And my brother, Nelson, invited me to come see his kids in a Christmas play.
Oh, wow.
And we never left.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we had our first daughter then. And so we've been a member of the church since then.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. I know, so that was, late 60s?
Yes, 69.
69. And then in the 70s, even though the church there was maybe around 250 people, you guys took this big step of buying 17 acres here on Smith Road.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah, well, I remember my wife, Sue, and I were teaching a Sunday school class to 1 and 2 year olds, I think, maybe 3 year olds. And we decided that we needed to bring the kids out to this area to show them what we were gonna do. So the bus driver, I think it was Jim Soule at the time, had came out and laid 2x6s through this muddy field.
From Smith Road to here.
From Smith Road to here. And we lined all the kids up on the 2x4s so they didn't fall in the mud. And we said, we are going to build a church here. And we did. And that's how it all started here on Smith Road.
That's great. So 1977 is when they built here. This used to be a slanted floor. I remember that part in pews. And then this was a gym originally.
Yes.
And then there was a kitchen. But then they tore that. They built the gym, what we're going to look at next. They tore this wall down.
Yes.
And then this became more seating for the auditorium. And then we had right here in the middle the what?
K-12. cattle chute.
The cattle chute, that's right. And then risers going up both sides, but a walkway right through here where you'd see people up there in this wall just kind of came down on either side. I remember the cattle chute,
Yep.
Our soundboard was right up here, and that's why we have so many doors here, is this was the main entrance. Everybody came in
right
this way. And then you were here in, I think it was 87, 88, 89, somewhere in there. I think I always consider 89 maybe when they actually got in.
Yes.
To this gym.
To this gymnasium, yes.
And a lot of the people helped to make that happen, right?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't all contractors. There was a lot of people in the church that had mechanical skills, concrete skills, and things like that. And we had a lot of volunteer time went into this addition.
Yeah, that's great. And then, as our church continued to grow, I know you were on the board at this time. We were about 600. I think we averaged 602 people the year we decided we're going to build a 1,000-seat auditorium right here.
And we were never going to fill it as far as I was concerned.
It was kind of a long shot because, you know, we're 600 saying we're going to build a 1,000-seat auditorium. We really had to think about that. We were going over plans about adding a balcony.
Yes.
And it wasn't cost-efficient. And we finally said, we should just do this. That was a huge step for our church. And we came into this space. Of course, it looked a lot different then. Everything was white. We sort of modeled it after our other service. But one of our big selling points is, hey, we're going to build this new church and be in one service. Because we were in multiple services.
Yep.
But then that didn't last all that long.
Elbow room now? No? Already no? Boy, there's not as much extra room in here as we thought, is there? This only seats 1,000. I guess we should have went bigger. I don't know. But anyway, has God blessed us for what?
No, and then you had to go to two services.
Then we had to go to two services. And so this really helped us to grow. It was a great space. And you had a unique role as we built this, Alan, because you were sort of our contractor, our representative, our project manager, as we worked with a company called Janata and Herner to build this building. And you had just retired before that. And you put in some major time on looking at every detail as we were building this building. Do you remember that?
It was a big undertaking. I'd had some experience in a previous job doing a couple million-dollar renovation, but nothing like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this point, as our church continued to grow, we started thinking, you know, hey, maybe we ought to be looking harder at campuses and stuff. That's when we started thinking, hey, we're looking at Tiffin. We had also just the people at Northwood, that was a church that was down to about a dozen people. They gave us their building. We rehired Harold to come in and take over that. That kind of paused us on Tiffin for a little while. Then we got back on to our Tiffin idea because we knew we had a couple hundred people coming from Tiffin, which seemed a little unusual.
Yeah.
Alan, I just kind of wanted to get your perspective on, you've been here through a lot of building campaigns. You've been here through a lot of growth in our church. You've been on the leadership side for most of those years. And just thinking, what's your perspective on grace and what we think God is calling us to do now with not only getting Sandusky launched, but also kind of jumping this hurdle that we have right now in Tiffin with the lack of seating. Just any thoughts in general?
Well, my first thought is when I seen the massive growth that Tiffin has had from the get-go, you know, we didn't...
Started with a boom.
It just started and it just bloomed. And I just have a heart burden to say they need a large auditorium.
Yeah.
And they probably need classrooms and all of that. And I just would, I guess, beg the people, the parishioners of this church, that it's time to grow.
Yeah.
And it's time to spread your wings. It's time to build.
Yeah.
And don't be of little faith.
Yeah.
See what God has done in Fremont, Ohio.
Would you have imagined that, you know, this would have happened? You know, now we're a church in three locations, soon to be four. We run on a good Sunday, 3,000 people in the seats. What's your thoughts about that? Would you have ever guessed that? I mean, how did you look, you know?
Kevin, I'm the person that had little faith. I'm the person that had little faith. I didn't think
you're
we'd ever
practical.
Fill this.
Yeah, you.
I didn't think we'd ever fill this, more or less build a building like this when we were at Collingwood.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord took a hold of us on Collingwood and gave us the insight that we needed to be a light in the community. And we just need to be thankful for that, need to bless Him for that. And I think personally in Tiffin or even in Northwood, okay, if we build a building, they're going to come.
It seems to be that way, that God has allowed us to impact people and have an effective ministry. And if we have the faith to take the step, God's always there to bless that. You can't ever outgive God.
No.
And God's been good to us.
Yes, He has.
I appreciate your ministry to our church through the years. And we're glad you're with us.
See, as you can see, our church family has a history of making bold moves, and God has a way of honoring that. One of the boldest moves, as you heard Alan say, was here at our Tiffin campus, right? Just 5.5 years ago. In 2019, we launched our Tiffin campus. We had about 200 people on our launch team. I know that some of you guys that are out there, most of you guys weren't on there. You've come after that. And there we are, our first Sunday, we had almost 400. Okay, we almost doubled in size the very first week, and we immediately went to two services, and we have not looked back since. I mean, the last 5.5 years, what God has done here, I cannot explain enough or emphasize enough, is pretty amazing. I mean, it's crazy. He's using our church to make a difference here in Seneca County, and we have grown from 200 to last year. Our average attendance on a Sunday morning was 914 here at our Tiffin campus here. And so I'm just saying, God did that in 5 years, right, in a town of 17,000 people. That's unheard of. In all honesty, it reminds me of Acts 2, right? Every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Statistically, here, I mean, literally, over the last few years, God has been adding to our family almost every single day. I mean, here's, by the way, some numbers to prove it, right? Our impact as our church as a whole, right, for the last 5 years, we've seen 1,707 people for the very first time in their life give their lives over to Jesus. And those are the ones that that have told us, right? Again, that's some of you guys. All right, that's life change. Those are people, by the way, let me just make sure we understand how important this is. Those are people who are on their way to hell that have made a decision and now have a relationship with their Creator. That's what we are all about right there. And And we've seen 675 people, right, go through in baptisms, and we've had 950 new families that have stepped up and have joined our church. And so that's what we've seen here. Now, that growth has created some challenges, okay, which we've all probably experienced, specifically, especially here in Tiffin. I mean, we got challenges when it comes to parking. I never know because I'm never out there, okay, but I've just heard, right, there's some challenges with parking, especially when Mike goes long, okay, that causes quite the issue. We got challenges when it comes to Grace Kids. We got challenges with volunteers. We got challenges when it comes to office space and staffing. And our biggest challenge that we are facing here at our Tiffin campus right now is space in this room, right? Especially first and second service, we know we can do better than this. And we know we can reach more people. And as Alan was saying, what we need to do as a church family is we need to make space. Now, we're already at three services, right? I don't think we have the staff or the volunteers, for that matter, right, to add a fourth right now. And really, there's kind of a general rule of thumb is that once you're 80% full, you kind of lose effectiveness when it comes to reaching people because you're just too full, All right, and our first service, we're about 80% full generally. Our second service, we're over 80% full. Last week, there's hardly any seats specifically, you know, especially if you went like two or three seats together. It just doesn't happen in our second service usually. Here in third, we can fit another like 100 to maybe 150, but then we're done growing as a church. And what's sad about that is we just opened up maybe the best tool we will ever have to reach families, and that's the Hanger Play Space that we just opened up a few weeks ago. Just yesterday, I had a lady, Vicky, actually, who was working it. I was talking to her on the phone, and she told me that she was just telling me about all the compliments and all the people who are coming through and just saying how thankful they are. One lady said that tell your church that they are so grateful that we have this open and it's open to the community. Now, for me, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, that's great. Right? Like, we want our kids. I'm glad your kids have a place to come run and get all worn out and all that kind of stuff. All right? That's good. But what we want is, ultimately, that's just a stepping stone. We want her to come here to church. We want her to and her children to hear the news about what Jesus has done for them and the hope, the only hope that they could possibly have, which is in Jesus, and then surrender their life over to Jesus so that someday, instead of going to hell, which is what the Bible talks about, all right, they get to go to heaven for eternity. All right? Think how grateful she'll be then. Get what I'm saying? All right, so much better. All right, so much better. That's the kind of thing we got to think on the front of our mind. That's what we are all about. It's life change. The Hanger, by the way, has been open for a week and a half. And so far, as of yesterday, we've had 583 new parents and kids that have not been to our church before or any of our other campuses walk through those doors to use that facility. All right. And that doesn't include our grand opening, that doesn't include birthday parties, that doesn't include our ribbon cutting, it doesn't include any of those. And I did the math on this. That's a new person every 3 minutes that thing is open, okay? That's how many people we've had walk through the doors of that playground. Again, it's not about kids playing on the playground. It's about introducing them to Jesus. All right, it's about using that as a tool to reach people in our community. And so, as you can imagine, in a week and a half, we've had 583 people just walking through these, plus really, just walking through these doors to check out our church, all right? We are about to have major problems because we have no place to put them on a Sunday morning, all right? We have no place to put them. We could grow by, again, about 100, maybe 120, 150, but then we're done. And so we have an issue here at our Tiffin campus that we as a family need to solve. And so the question our leadership has been asking is, how can we be more bold, all right? Here at Tiffin, all right, how can we be more bold? And the answer to that question is super simple. It's we need to build. That's it. We need more space. That's what it comes to. And so not only do we want to build an auditorium, but we also want to be able to build kind of a centralized lobby that actually will incorporate some of this room. We want to be able to secure our kids' space so that's kind of separate just to protect our kids even more. We want to be able to build some office space, right? Because we have none. I got Blaine in a closet, okay, right now. And so we need space there. I can't hire any more staff because I have no place to put them. All right, we need to figure out our parking space because that's the first thing that people are introduced to when they come to our church for the very first time, all right? And most importantly, we need space in our auditorium. And so what we want to do is we want to build at least 1,000-seat auditorium. Again, remembering back of what we as a church have already done back in Fremont, as when we were at 600, we built a 1,000-seat auditorium. Here in Tiffin, we're at 914 as of last year. We need to build at least 1,000-seat auditorium. And so that's what we're looking at. And that's what we want to do. The question that we need to ask to be responsible is, well, how much will this thing cost? But before we ask that, what I want us to ask, I think what's a better question is, how much is this worth? How much is it worth for us to be able to continue reaching family, friends, coworkers, and the rest of our community? Actually, I have this really good friend who He's a pastor at kind of a sister church of ours, about an hour and a half away from here. Similar community, small community, and they have the same problem, right? They're out of space. And so what they're doing is they're going and they're building a 1,200-seat auditorium. They also are building a lobby just like what we would like to do. And the price tag on that is $17.5 million, okay? That's what they're doing, which is crazy, all right? It's a lot, all right? So I just want to throw that out there so that you can know that what I'm about to present to you is a steal, okay? All right? Same page there. Okay. With the auditorium and lobby space and a few offices and major entrances and parking, it looks like it's going to cost us around $8 to $8.5 million. Probably, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I think it'll be closer to $8.5 million. The cost keeps going up. It goes up faster than what we can raise. And so, again, that includes auditorium, lobby space, offices, and new main entrances that keeps the plan simple for guests and it makes things easy to understand as you walk through. We'll have everything kind of broken off into sections. And I will actually explain a lot more of our plan next week, so make sure you're back here. But how are we going to do that? I don't know. It's true. I don't know. All right. I look at that number right there, and I think it just seems impossible. My brain is just like, there is no possible way that we as a church, we've never done anything even close to that. We've never done anything like that ever before in the history of our church. There's no way we can do that. But I also know that usually the impossible, that's where God likes to be. Just throwing that out there. All right. But the thing that we got to figure out is, it's either we do this or we're done here in Tiffin. Whether we like it or not, this is our challenge. And this is a part of our story. Because now it's a part of the grace story, which was launched by the greatest story that was ever told. See, our story as a church is incredible. Sometimes I look back, you know, I'm just like thinking to myself, I'm just like, dang God, you know? You're just like, I can't even believe, you know, 5 years ago, I would never have imagined that we would be at this point. But we are. And unfortunately for us, this takes money. It's just how it works. And so we're gonna be trying to raise this. We're gonna be talking about this over the next few weeks. And so again, I wanna make sure that you're back here. When you walked in today, you received a brochure, handout, whatever you wanna call it, a little booklet thing. I want you to take those. If you haven't, grab one on the way out. That gives you some of the information on our plan. Again, we'll be talking about this again. But for the next 3 weeks, what I have for you is I got three things to ask you, okay? Three things to ask from you. Number one, I would ask that you would commit to being here for the next 3 weeks, right? Like, as we as a church family, as we have this family meeting, as we try to figure this out together, if you're part of our church family, which isn't everybody in here, but if you consider Grace your church home, you really need to be here for the meeting. Get what I'm saying? Right? You need to be here. You need to know, all right, what's going on here at our church. You need to know the plan. And so you can do it. You can wake up. You can make it. The team's going to survive without your kid. All right? It's going to happen. All right? You can change shifts at work. Like, if you can do that, you should do it and be here. All right? So number one, commit to the next 3 weeks. Number two, obviously, I want you to be praying about this. All right, we can't do this without prayer. We can't do this without God. If we try, it's going to fail. All right, there's just no way around it. And so I want you to pray kind of two different ways. Number one, I want you to pray for you individually. All right, I want us to ask, all right, God, what can we do? What are we going to do to help fix this problem? All right, number one, so that's an individual basis. But number two, I want you to pray for us as a church and as a family and corporately. How are we as a family going to respond to the problems that have presented themselves or the challenges that have presented themselves because God has done such great work here in Tiffin? Okay? And so I want you to pray for us in that way. And then number three, I want you to think about what God wants you to do. So that involves prayer, of course. But what does God want you to do over and beyond what you currently do when it comes to giving? All right, by the way, this includes me. Okay, this is me and Kate. We've already been talking about this. We'll be talking about this more. We're going to be talking about what kind of sacrifice that we can make to help make this happen. And so, right now, I don't want you to make that decision. right? This week, I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to make the decision about how you can help us make more space. What I want you to do is I want you to go through the process. All right, I want you to spend actual time talking to God about it. I want you to spend time thinking about it and talking it over with your husband or your wife or your spouse or whoever. I want you to think about how you could get creative. That's what Kate and I are going to do. And then in 3 weeks, I want you to make a bold move. And we'll talk more about what that looks like next week as we boldly move forward in our story as a church family, confronting this challenge that we have before us together. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for this church. This family that you put together. It's so crazy for me to think about, God, like where each of us, where were we 5.5 years ago? Because we weren't here. Because nothing was. But God, you put this church family together. You put us here for a reason, to reach as many people as we can. And God, we've already seen you work. For some reason, you choose to use us, and we're so thankful that you do that. We get to watch it with our own very eyes. God, we thank you for all that. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you for this church. Lord, we need your help. You know we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.